We're going to start from the end of the story of last week, because there was a beautiful piece from the Ben Ish Chai about the story from three weeks ago, Rabbi Yossi, in that he was on the way, and he stopped in a chorva, and he davened, and the other Rabbi stopped from him. So the Ben Ish Chai makes a very fascinating and intuitive observation. I'm just going to read you the piece again, okay? And I'm going to share with you his insight, which is a very, very powerful insight, a meaningful insight for each of us as well. So I'm going to read the language again. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, Pamachat Haiti Mahalech Baderech, I was going on the way, thank you. V'nichnati l'churva achat mechibush Yisraelim mitpalev. And I went into a churva to daven. Uba Eliyahu l'chulato v'shamar li l'petach ad shesiyamti tfilati. Well, Eliyahu came and whatever. And he waited for me to finish. Amar li shalom alecha Rebbe, v'amar li amati lo shalom alecha Rebbe Umari. Okay? Amar lo b'nei mechon l'chnasi l'churva. Why do you go into the chorva? Amarti lo litpalel. Amarli hayelach litpal baderech. I should have davened on the way. Amarti lo mityarei hayiti shama yafsikuni ovrei derachim. I was afraid who would interrupt me. Ovrei derachim, people who are travelers. So Ben Ish Chai notices something very powerful. What? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to ask. You know that they stop on your way with a bandit, so travels listing baderech.
Right.
In brachot. What's his, I don't remember the rab that's told off for lying down for
shabbat. That was this week's dab. Today's yesterday's dab. Right.
Lying down because of the bandits. He may as well have been harmed because you're so stupid.
You're dangerous up.
So by turning off, maybe he was turning off because he thought it was safer.
Hey, but Ben Ish Chai notices the following. It says, "Pamachat hayiti mehalech baderech." I was lehalechet. I was going on my way. But what was he nervous of? People interrupting him. Why did he daven in the churva? He says, I was afraid people would bug me. So he says, I was afraid, Shema Yafsikuni Overe Durachim. It's a different term than the term he used for himself. Pam achat hayiti mehalech baderech. Mehalech baderech means I was walking on the path. Who's going to interrupt me? Overe Durachim. Those who pass by. What's the difference between a mehalech baderech and an overe derech? It's a very, very clever observation. And it's a great observation, because remember, we're reading this as literature. Rabbi Yossi's telling him the whole story.
It's the experience along the way.
What?
I'll tell you guys. One is Malek is charting a new course, and over is going over once they've already been around.
Very good. Very good. So says Ben Ish Chai the following. One second. Okay. He says the following. He has a... It says, Yesh tei bechinot. There are two ways to go through life. It's not just about traveling, it's going through life. Echad nikra ovrei derachim. One is the ovrei derech. Shekol matarat libo rak lavo ulahagia lemechos chepso. So an ovrei derech, his job, his goal, is to get to the goal. He wants to arrive at the destination. Ubaderech hu ratz ade yagia limkomo. And he runs on the way in order to get to his destination. V'habet, the second kind, nikra holchei derachim. He is a person who is a holech baderach. He goes on the way. V'hanu sheyodia, he knows, or he makes known, shebechol makom asher tidroch kaf raglo, wherever he goes, hinei Hashem mechin mitzadav. Behold, Hashem is preparing his steps. L'man yitaken sham eze nitzot kadosh hayachayach l'nishmato. V'ze ikar mahalcho. So he says, yes, I mean, I'm going on the way. I have a destination. But more than important than the destination, he knows
journey.
The journey is important. Oh, and okay. Every part of the journey...
But he was criticized by Eliyahu Navi, wasn't he? Didn't we say last time? He was criticized for concentrating on Shiach and the end goal rather than the journey.
He's saying you should have had in Munah and Hashem that your journey would... Hashem would take you... on the way, but you kind of stopped off and said, okay, this...
Oh, I don't know if he's looking at that. One second. Okay, Nimtza. So he says, what's the mitzvah of tzaddikim? What's the most appropriate way, obviously? Mm-hmm. The mitzvah of the tzaddik is not just to worry about getting to the goal, but understanding that every step along the way, every time you have a stop in the path, okay, that's what Hashem, where Hashem wants you to do. One second. Okay. Because he kind of goes on a sort of tangent I don't want to get into. Okay. Mitzabidat tzadikim, the aspect of the tzadikim, afilu kashiyotzim lederech b'shvil esek gashmi, even if they're going on the way for a business trip, hem ma'aminim ki ezek zeh hayasi ba me'et Hashem. They believe that this trip, right, this business deal is from God. Kedei sheyelchu b'derech zeh. V'yilketu misham nitzotzei kedusha. And they have to gather together the sparks of kedusha. V'lachein elu nikraim hochei drachim. Rabbi Yossi says, hayiti mehalech b'derech. Okay? V'yilketu nitzotzei kedusha. V'lachein elu nikraim hochei drachim. They're called hochei drachim. Aval otam she'en lehem emunazu. But people who don't have that level of faith. Hayim nikraim ovrei derech. V'lachein, therefore, Rabbi Yossi, me'achar shehaya misug holchei drachim. He was the holech derech. He was the he was the tzadi. Nimtzei tahlichato b'derech chashiva lidvar mitzvah. He realized that every step was an important thing. So the way he says it, his stop along the way to daven, it wasn't just, I gotta stop and daven. This churva is here for me to daven and I have to attract mitzvot kedusha. Okay? V'alkein lo chash l'nizakin ha'mezumani min ha'churva. He wasn't worried about the danger of the churva itself, because I'm meant to be in this churva. I'm here to do a mitzvah in this churva. So shluchei mitzvah en anizokin. I'm not worried about it. Therefore, he says, pa'am alachat ma'ayiti mehalech baderech. Kolomar, meaning, lo hayiti misug ovrei derachim. I wasn't an over derech, ela vahalchei derech. Shaiti ma'amin, I believed, shahalichati be'oto haderech, bishvul birur nitzutzei kedusha. It was in order to collect, to join, I don't know, to bring in the nitzutzei, the sparks of kedusha. Shenimtza ani osek b'mitzvah. Therefore, he says, "Lo chashashti min hanizikim ha'eila." Okay, and therefore he says, "I was afraid shema yafsikuni ovrei drachim." I was worried that the ovrei drachim would interrupt me, not the holchei drachim. Okay, he says, "I was mahalach baderech, but I was worried about ovrei derech." Why? He says, "I'm not afraid of people who are mahalchei drachim. They're tzaddikim, and when they see me daven, what are they going to do? They're going to leave me alone. But those people who, like, you know, one second." I was afraid. I mean, otam shehem ovrei derachim, shehem hamonim. Most people, he says, are ovrei derachim. Ve'en choshishim alef she yefsekuni, because they think just like I'm there in a hurry to get somewhere, I'm also in a hurry to get somewhere. So I stopped along the way to daven. The stop isn't the point. It's to get to the end goal. Gam elu ma'harim behilucham kedei lahachia b'mechos chepsam sha'a achat kodem. Since the whole goal is to get to where they want to go, right? They don't mind interrupting me because their goal is to get to where they want to go.
Why would they interrupt them if their whole goal is to get to where they want to go? They're just passing by.
Directions. Hey, buddy, can you help me? I need a deal. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, he says, I went into the churva. The Musar Haskel, which I think is deep.
Isn't it deeper than that?
What?
That they'll distract him from... They'll come and say, we've got to think about Mashiach,
He says, the Ovrei, this is much more, I think, simple, base level. The Ovrei Derachim are not concerned with such things. They're concerned with the mundane. They see the trip as a mundane trip. A Mahalach Derach sees every trip as an opportunity for spiritual growth. You got stuck in traffic today? There's a reason you got stuck in traffic today. And that reason will present itself, or it won't present itself. But you are there in order to make the best of it, in order to do whatever it is you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? You had to take this trip. You didn't want to take that trip, so that trip is there for a reason. Someone's a mahalach badera. I think that there's a lot to be said for that. Like, we very often get caught up in the nitty gritty of life, in the mundane of life, and someone who is a level of level of tikkun, you know what I'm saying? The more righteous you are, the more you have to see that the goal isn't to get from place A to place B, but the goal is the stops along the way.
Why would Eliyahu HaNavi not know that? And if he was doing it for the right reason, if he was Osik Mitzvah and he was doing it because he was concentrating on the Derech, so everything he thought was right, sounds like it should be right. Now all of a sudden Eliyahu is telling him he's still wrong.
Yeah, he gave him three answers.
What's that?
He gave him three answers.
Yeah.
He accepted three answers from Eliyahu.
Yes.
I mean, your questions are good questions. I don't want to be through the whole piece of the. I'm sure he would. I didn't learn the whole piece. I just wanted to do this one piece. Okay. You know what I'm saying? He has, I'm sure, the whole mahalach on the whole piece of Eliyahu Zechu Latov. Eliyahu saw that there were angels with him, and the Shechina was with him, and he didn't really need. You know what I'm saying? Like, remember, the Ben Ishchai is going to look at the whole story in a much more Sephardic point of view. Rabbi Yossi went into the Chorba. It wasn't dangerous for Rabbi Yossi to go in the Chorba. So the question is on Eliyahu, not on Rabbi Yossi. Like, why is he giving Musa to Rabbi Yossi? What's he trying to teach him? You know what I'm saying? It's more one learning from the other, as opposed to you're doing something that's inappropriate or negative or wrong or et cetera, et cetera. I found that, was it worth waiting 3 weeks for?
Very interesting.
Very powerful. Just very powerful. It's hard to remember. It's really, really hard to remember because most of our lives are consumed, and I think that what he was saying was, most of life is consumed with mundane activities. Right? You go to work, you're stuck in work, you do, you know, and it's not always the most pleasurable thing. But do you see that as part of your mission near Yad Hashem as well? Or not? And it reminds me very much of what we used to talk about in Derech Hashem. Like every, remember we see, there were a few weeks where we were talking about like every, like God, like, you know, your Avodas Hashem, we spoke about this, you used to yell at me about it, is so much in about the way you react. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to perfect ourselves in the way we react to situations. And instead of seeing the deal as I've got to close the deal, which you want to close the deal, of course you want to close the deal, but the steps that you have to have along the way, they're also tests. They're also opportunities for growth. You know, and I don't think it's just literally a path. It's also a path in life. You know, to do the things that you have to do, and to gather the nitzotot of Kedusha, whether it's your nefesh or somebody else's along the way. I think it's a deep idea. There's a lot to think about. Okay. We're not going straight. We're going to skip a little bit. Meaning, basically when I find pieces that are interesting and motivating, I don't think this is not a, you know, you have to cover all of Agadita, but we're going to do most of them, obviously. So the next piece we're going to do is from Gimel Amud Bet. Those of you who daft, you're doing the daf, right, you flies, especially with yesterday's daf. It was like the longest daf ever. You're just flying through Agadita, like, you know what I'm saying? And you got to learn it. There's so much there. Like, now that we're learning, you know, like, there's so much there. So I guess it's good like to cover, just to see, to be exposed to it. So if you're doing the daf, if you've ever done brachot, now that you're exposed to it, right, now you can go back and try to understand it a little more deeply. Ktiv. See where I am? Chatzot, you know, let me use the sheets, because I finally bought a book. So I was going into the library in the shul. I went to make sure I've got a book. Ktiv, chatzot layla akum lahodot lach. Okay? At midnight, I get up to give praise to you. David b'halga d'leila habekai. You mean David only got up at midnight? Me'urta kabekai. He was up from evening. I.e., David never slept. Isn't it interesting? Like the language of the Gemara, like, what do you mean David got up at midnight? He never went to sleep. You know what I'm saying? What is the Gemara's expectation of David HaMelech? Okay, what kind of expectation is that? He never slept.
Superhuman.
What?
Superhuman.
Right. There's an angelic quality to it.
Only on Shabbos.
No. Oh, he slept on Shabbos, you mean?
No, he only didn't sleep on Shabbos because it was a... I heard him interesting that he was the Malchamah that was supposed to take him on Shabbos on the 70th.
That was only the end.
Yeah.
At the end of his life.
Yeah.
Right. He learned all Shabbos long, the Midrash says, in order to avoid the Malchamah.
Yeah.
Not his whole life. Right?
I guess maybe that's what the Gemara's referring to. Whatever.
Anyway. I'm familiar with said Midrash. Dichtiv, he was up all night. Kidamti b'nefesh, b'neshef, v'ish v'ashaveya. Kidamti, nakdim, I got up at neshef, v'ashaveya, and I will be saved. Umay mashma, the high neshef, or tahu. How do we know that this neshef is night? Dichtiv, as it says in Mishlei, b'neshef, b'erev yom, b'ishon layla v'afela. All of you Mishlei studiers will explain what that means. B'neshef is erev yom, b'ishon layla, the beginning of the night. So, if we have a pasuk that says David was up from the beginning of the night, why does it say I get up in the chatzot? Amar Boshia, Hachika Amar David. This is what David said. Me'olam lo avar lai chatzot layla b'sheina. So you're right. You normally he was up. Sometimes he fell asleep, but me'olam I never got up. Right? I never got up later than
midnight.
Good. Rabbi Zera Amar Rabbi says ad chatzot layla hayam mitnam nem kesus. He would slumber like a horse.
Standing.
Yeah, meaning he wouldn't. He horses don't sleep. Rashi says they don't really sleep very good. He would sleep unfitfully. He would snooze like a horse. Mikan ve'elech hayamit gaber ka'ari. From then on, he was strong like a lion. And again, we're not going to go into this. You can't go into everything. But the imagery is fascinating. Of the first half of the night, he's like a horse. Second half of the night, he's like a lion. Okay. Rashi Amar. Rashi says no. Ad chatzot laila haya osik b'divrei Torah. Mikan ve'elech l'shirot v'tishbachot. Of course, he was up all night. But when he says he got up to give praise to God at midnight, that's because he was learning the first half of the night. And the second half of the night, he wrote poetry. Okay. So the Gemara is going to skip a little bit. We can just do it quickly. V'neshef, or I want to skip this piece. Is neshef really night? So the Gemara goes on and says, yes, neshef is really night. Okay, I mean, I don't know why I included it, but yeah, just wanted, you can read it later on if you're really interested. Okay, 1 second. So skip till it says V'David miha v'yada. It's a third wide line in the next little section. See what it says? V'David miha v'yada. A little higher than here. V'David miha v'yada. So the Gemara asks, "V'David mi hava yada?" There, it's another one. "Paga delele aimat." Did David really know when half of the night was? "Hashda Moshe Rabbeinu lo hava yada." Moshe himself didn't know. "Dichtiv koma Hashem kachatzot halayla." Right, because when Moshe Rabbeinu came to power and said, "You're going to be plagued with the plague of the firstborn with Machan Bechorot," he didn't say midnight. When the clock strikes midnight, you will be struck down. He said, "At about midnight, God is going to come get you." Okay, so the question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu not say at midnight? So it's clearly Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. Are you following in the
no? I
did
this one actually. I knew beforehand.
This Gemara.
This is Gemara. This is the Gemara.
Ooh.
This is the sample.
You got the free? You ordered it?
Yeah, I got it free.
Are you gonna buy it? No. It's too expensive.
It's cheaper than the other scroll. It's $149 for the whole bracha. Instead of.
Oh, it's side by side.
This is the English.
Wow.
It looks great.
Wow.
In the back, you've got...
Two. Oh, they give you the main, but nobody uses it. Right.
Bobby swears by it.
Right.
And some people really like it, some people don't.
Some people feel they need to like follow in the daf or whatever. Okay. Fascinating. Okay. You'll tell me if I'm translating properly. So did David really know when in the middle of the night... Moshe Rabbeinu lo hava yada. Moshe didn't know. Dichtiv kor ma'ashem kachatzot halayla. My kachatzot. It can't be. You want to say what? God said, we're like, hey Moshe, I'm going to bring the plague of the firstborn. When? About midnight. God didn't know when midnight was? No. God doesn't know when midnight is? Remember, they didn't have atomic clocks. Right? So God said to Moshe, tomorrow, like exactly right now, 24 hours from right now. And therefore, Ata'iyu v'amar kachatzot. So they're saying that Moshe Rabbeinu did know, but he said to Paro, like chatzot tonight, so too chatzot tomorrow night. Okay? Alma misafkale. So, 1 second. So, God said, kiyashta, right now. And Moshe said, kachatzot, alma misafkale. So it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know exactly at the point when chatzot was. V'david havayada. So how was David supposed to know? I mean, how could David get up exactly at midnight, in the middle of the night?
The Ramban has a different approach.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the Ramban on Moshe, because he said that he wanted to have full...
deniability.
There's no way that you could deny.
Correct. He didn't want the Egyptians to come along and say, Moshe said midnight.
It's 1201.
1201, he's obviously wrong.
No, it's because the Egyptians could make a mistake.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying, because the Egyptians could make a mistake. Yeah.
That's another answer to this question. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Because kachatzot is a very strange language. Nonetheless, how did David know? Gemara says, David, simana havale. He had a sign, i.e., he had an alarm clock. The Amar Avchana bar Bizna, Amar Avshimon Chasida, kinor haya talu lemalu mimitato shel David. He had this famous harp. That kevan shehigia chatzot halayla, ba ruach tzfonit, the north wind came, the noshevet bo, umenagen me'elav. So the way the Chazal say it, it's not a magic flute, it's not a magic thing. They believed that the north wind, the wind shifted exactly at the proper time. So David set up his harp in such a way that when the wind shifted, it would cause, it was like a Rube Goldberg kind of contraption, it would cause the harp to make a sound and wake him up. Miyad haya omed v'osek b'torah ad she'ala amud ha'shachar. So immediately David would stand up and work himself in Torah until morning. Now this is, I'm not going to talk about up until now. This is fascinating. I didn't find anybody who said anything really like deep on this whole story of David HaMelech. Probably because it's part of the legend of David HaMelech. David was known as a man of great skill, great chachma, Shlomo even more so, but he was the total package. Interesting, you know, he was both a musician, he was very emotional, but also a great warrior. So it makes sense that, you know, he had this magic harp that would wake him up in the middle of the night. It's also, nobody thinks it's anything special that David stayed up and learned all night. Okay? Kivan she'ala amud ha'shachar, nichnasu chachmei Yisrael etzlo. So the chachamim came. Ve'omim lo, Adonenu ha'melech, amcha Yisrael tzrichim parnosa. Hey, king, your nation needs sustenance. Amar lehem yelchu v'yitparnasu zeh mizeh. So let them go support each other. Let them go sustain themselves from each other. This is the point we're gonna talk about. This whole conversation is fascinating. Amru lo, they said, Ein hakometz masbia et ha'ari. Give me the scroll translation. What do they say? The Korean. How do they translate that?
The sages of Israel respond to the parable, a handful of food does not satisfy a lion.
Mm-hmm.
The pit will not be filled. Merely they add some.
Of course they do.
Right?
Ein habor.
To him a single handful.
Ein hakometz
satisfy a lion and a pit not filled from its mouth. But if you
from its what?
From its mouth.
Oh, that's not true. That's not a good translation. Wait, hold on. Ein hakometz masbia tari. The handful can't feed the lion. And notice, by the way, this is the second time the imagery of the lion appeared.
Yeah.
Okay. But ein habor mitmale mi chuliyato. What is chuliyah?
Right.
What is chuliyah? From the word?
Chol.
What does it sound like?
Sand.
The pit cannot be filled with it from its own sand. What's the problem with that?
Sure it can.
Of course it can. Anybody's ever dug a pit? You ever been to a funeral? Anybody? Guys? I've been to many funerals. Okay, when they dig the funeral, they stick all the dirt next to it. Okay? They take dirt away. Mm-hmm. And when you come to fill the thing, coffin doesn't take so much space, right? And there's always leftover dirt. Because it has to be. Why?
It doesn't fit exactly
because it was packed down when you dug it out. And now you're never going to pack it down the same way. Time packs it down. So Chazal is struggling. This is the reason why the Koran is translating, having a difficult time. How do they translate chuliyato? It's mouth.
It will not be filled merely from the rain that falls directly into it.
From the rain that falls directly into it. Chuliyato? That means rain? Okay, whatever. Because everybody knows what Chazal mean, but it's a very strange formulation. And what's the nimsha? David Amela says, he says, let them go. Go like, you know, what does he want them to do? Go work, and?
They can work, but there's no economy to support the...
Why not? This is why I'm stuck on this piece.
Uh-huh.
So if you ask, like, here you have a country of people, right? If the country functions in the proper way,
the sages came to David HaMelech and said, we've got a problem here, because there's rich people and there's poor people, but there's so many poor people that if you take from the rich and ask them to give tzedakah, there's not enough to go around. We don't have enough resources internally, so they'll all be hungry, but it'll be poor, and then we'll be in major trouble. So David HaMelech's response is, fine. Then
hold on.
Go
I have a better idea. Mm-hmm. Instead of asking the rich to give the poor money, why don't we ask the rich to do something else? Build businesses and hire the poor to work in their businesses. Okay. Isn't that how economies work?
Yes.
And what if they were to do such? And what if they were to do such a thing? Right.
Self-sustaining.
Meaning, right? This idea of Ein habor mitmaleh michuliyato. It can't work. Isn't it exactly how it works?
But that means you need an economy that can sustain that.
What?
You need an economy which can sustain that.
Like what?
You need people that need to have the work done.
Wait,
but if no one can pay for the work, then you're stuck anyway.
If there's what?
What you're trying to say is get the rich people to create businesses.
Uh-huh.
The other people can use...
Isn't that how economies work?
Yeah, but,
but someone, there has to be a demand on the other side. If there's no demand, or there's no one who can support the demand, then you don't have an economy.
If I'm a rich person, I hire you. It's very, isn't how it's kind of circular.
I hire you,
and then I pay you money. And what do you do with that money?
Buy
you go buy things.
Yeah, but you have to assume that those things are available. I mean, there has to be some sort of...
Again, that's what economies do. They build themselves up.
They can do that, but they can go buy from another country, maybe, if you don't have that supported in your country itself. And your actual economy is sort of...
But if in a perfect economy, the economy supplies everything that everyone needs.
Yeah,
right?
Exist.
What?
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. But in theory, it should be able to support itself. And everyone grows at the same time. Everyone prospers. This idea of...
He's saying that there's enough to get them started, but it's not going to be enough to meet all the needs. Because it says there is...
What is something? To do?
There's something.
Amalahem, l'chu b'pishtu yichdeichem b'gidud. So what does he tell them to do?
Fight.
Go fight. Go fight. Meaning what?
Expand the borders.
Yeah.
So that makes more sense.
Really?
Yeah.
Go. Is that really? I mean, this is what bothers me about this Gemara.
He seems to accepting what he was told. He was told that there's no solution here in the country.
The motion, the metaphor that they use.
Yeah.
That the lion won't be filled from the handful.
It's not enough.
The thing from itself. The water won't fill. The sand doesn't fill itself.
Right.
So you need to get it from somewhere else. That's what.
What is he telling them to do? He's not telling them to go. What's he telling them to do? What's he telling them to do? So therefore, do what?
Solve it.
Take it from somebody else.
Therefore, what? Take it from someone else. Go attack and take it from somebody else.
He's saying. He's giving them
really?
That's
this is the Jewish economy. When you don't have enough, go steal from somebody else.
Did he tell him to expand borders?
And there,
within
what
areas, like within biblical areas, Israel, that he's allowed to?
Right. Of course, he's allowed to.
So then, what's the problem? Morally, there's a problem. But from a
am I the only one? Am I the only one that finds this problematic?
What would you rather?
Hey, you know.
Would you rather say that, like, you know, well, there's not
in truth, if it were me,
let's go down to Egypt.
I mean, maybe it's naive of me to say, because you could suggest that economics had not developed to such a point where people could understand where there was such a thing as an understanding of economics, where it's such a circular idea, where you build up industry.
The answer is they understand that there's an issue. Why can't it be that they were being boycotted? That no one wanted to do trade with Israel around them at the time, so they decided, Wilson, you don't deal with us.
That's not what it says.
Wait, the truth.
It's not what it says.
It's not what it says.
Historically.
I'm looking at the words. I'm struggling with the words. If there's a boycott, if you're being, you know, if the police team are attacking us, that's all good. I appreciate all of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Fine.
It doesn't say that.
It says this. It seems to be a purely economic problem. And David HaMelech says, let them yechu v'yitpanushu m'zemizeh, which seems to be a very, very legitimate kind of thing. Let them support each other. They you know, that. What am I supposed to do? So, like they're telling him, no, it's not working. We tried that, it's just not working. Mm-hmm. He says, okay, if it's not working, fine, go attack. Because that's really what they want in the Philippines. Why do they go to the king? Like, why are you coming to him with your problems? He really wants you to, you know, leave me alone. Why can't you guys figure it out? I have, like, a minister of, I don't know, the economy, whose job it is to make this work. So, and what they're asking is permission to go attack. So finally he says, yes. So I will tell you, I looked. I didn't see many people that talk about this. I spoke to Rav Moshe Olstein. He pointed me in the direction of the Yamsha Shlomo, who says that the Yamsha Shlomo says that he gives an explanation and says, Yelchu Luchu Pishtu Yedechem Begidud refers to they went and attacked these roving bands of Amalekim. So since it was a mitzvah anyway to attack the Amalekim, you might as well make a buck off it anyway. Oh, but that didn't, I mean, it's a nice pshat. But there's no evidence for it anywhere in the context of the Agarata. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't have an answer for you. I'm sharing with you. I struggle with this piece. Like it just seems strange. Unless, to be brutally honest with you, in the times of the Gemara, the way you developed yourself economically, right? The way any country developed itself economically was conquest, war and conquest.
David.
Right, that was what?
David in particular. David wasn't.
You forget
great,
David.
He wasn't known as a great economist.
No, he wasn't.
Everybody. That's the
Shlomo has also right. That's
the
whole
of the world at the time.
Correct.
Shlomo was a good economist.
Correct. So what?
Shlomo was a good economist.
One could suggest, in fact, that from that perspective,
today.
One could suggest.
Not that different today.
What happened in the Great Depression? What happens when economies crash?
No, we didn't steal all the money. We didn't steal the money from Europe. We created America. Created an economy.
It turns into a situation where it becomes a battle for whoever can take the most land and the most money.
It's still very much
like that.
You think so?
Look at China, like, price fixing the currencies and it's causing problems in the markets and they're getting away with it. And no one can fight them for it.
Okay.
and really, according to what you're saying, the rich give to the poor and they give to the
poor. No, not good, not good, not give, not give.
They give jobs and they sustain.
I know, I'm a very conservative with a small c.
I think it's a very ideal situation because it's the Chofetz Chaim where things are only charged at exactly what they should be charged at.
Yeah.
There's still plenty of companies and plenty of people who charge way above what they're supposed
okay.
to charge and then people go take it for a ride and therefore the system doesn't work, doesn't
no,
flow
but I'm
as much as it should.
In a good economy, if economy is flowing, right? If economy is doing well, I'm just saying, the economy is supplying people with what it needs, and everyone is growing in the process. The rich are getting richer.
I think there's an article last week before about how banks' credit ratings work and stuff, and it's been shown to be fraud, and people banks are benefiting from it.
I'm not talking about financial system. I'm talking about manufacturing.
Know.
I'm talking about.
I don't think we know a financial situation. So far in the world.
Okay, if any economist is listening to this and knows that I'm full of bunk, you're happy to reply and tell me that I don't know what he's talking about.
The market doesn't go like this.
The market goes like this. Up until this point, the market has gone that way because economies expand. You want
to
say they contract?
Nothing's perfect.
I didn't say it's perfect. Anyway, maybe you're right. This wasn't considered abnormal at the time. Okay, that's the way you... Okay. The Ein Yaakov, I'm going to share with you the Ein Yaakov on this, and Anaf Yosef. Anaf Yosef, let's see who has Anaf Yosef. One second. Anaf Yosef was written by Chanoch Zungel ben Rab Yosef. I don't know who the name. He wrote a parish on Midrash Tanchuma also. Okay, so we're going to do Ein Yaakov and Anaf Yosef. Ein Yaakov says the following. This makes a very interesting point about leadership in general. Kivan Sha'ala Amud HaShachar, he's more interested in the whole story about what did David do in the middle of the night. And if you're David, what do you really want to do? What are you interested in?
Sit
and learn. Right. Writing your books.
Singing.
Okay. Lamadnu mizeh, he says, to'elet gadol. We'll learn from this a great benefit. V'hu ki ye'ut l'chol ish shalem, l'ho'il l'zulato. It is incumbent upon every complete individual to assist his fellow man. She'af amid, she'tamid kol ha'yom, she'mishtadil b'kocho, la'hasig shlemut ha'adam im atzmo. A person's goal, his job, or what he wants to do is he wants to become shalem. He wants shlemus. What's the best way to achieve shlemus?
Go sit on the mountaintop.
Go sit on the mountaintop, correct. Go alone, go be by yourself, and then you can work on your own self-fulfillment and completion. He says, nonetheless, adayin lo higia al shlemuto ha'acharon. He has not finished, he's not arrived at his completion. Ad she be'atzato, v'tuv hanhagato, yo'il l'anshei midinato. Through his advice and his good actions, he has to help other people as well. V'kol shken ha'melech u'yishvei malchuto. Certainly the king and those who, regarding those who live in his kingdom. By the way, this was considered unique. Because most kings saw it the other way around. My subjects are here to serve me. Right. What do you, the people want? Not my problem. I'm their king. They serve me. They want, let them figure it out. V'zeo ha'evdel miyuchad sh'haya b'Noach l'Abraham. This is the interesting difference between, the special difference between Noach and Abraham. Ki Noach haya mitbodeid u'mayein b'avod Hashem yitbarach hu levado. Sh'ne'amar, as it says, k'mo she'edal ha'pasuk et ha'li mehit alech Noach. Noach followed God. ולא היה משגיח בעיני ענייני הדורותיו ללמדים תוכחות מוסר ולהזירים שישוב במחתתם. And he, obviously, this is a very famous idea about the difference between Noach and Abraham. Noach, of course, believed in God. He was faithful to God, but he was faithful to God for himself. אבל אברהם, is called Anshe Arzo Mishpachto. He was worried about the people who lived in his land and his family. You know, the whole thing about his father and the ass and whatever. This is his whole life. To worry about the community. That's Abraham. And for this reason, he says here, ki im hayot David betachlit hashleimut le'inyan kumo b'chatzot halayla lehitbodeid b'iyun ulhodot lefanav yitbarach. Okay? Yes, David was complete. He was amazing. He was an incredible person. That he got up in the middle of the night to learn Torah and to, you know what I'm saying, and to write his Tehillim and to be one with God. Lo mipnei zeh hishlich acharei gavo hanhagat kol Yisrael. But not, it wasn't because of this that he just turned his back on all of Bnei Yisrael. He wanted to learn. So what he could have done is said, I'm learning, I don't want to talk to anybody, I'm not meeting anybody today. I'm busy, I'm writing Tehillim. I'm going to write the book that's going to be the basis for the prayers of the Jewish people for the rest of time. So you know when he did it? He did it in the middle of the night, when everybody else was sleeping. And when the sun came up, all of the scholars of Israel would come to him. It's not like the Beis Medrash showed up. Who showed up? Everybody. Right, the Chachamim and Torah, obviously, Sanhedrin, and also everybody else. They need Parnasa Lirmos, Shekevan Shuhuman Kam Ba Adonam, he's in charge. Mina Mechuyab Eslo, Lashkiach Biinyane Kulam. Echtiya Parnasa Berevach. So he said, and Parnasa is not just Achila, okay? Upirish Parnasa Belashon Tamud, Eino Al Achila Bilbad, Al Kol Tzarchei Adam. It's whatever a person needs, Lomar. Shafapia Shayu Yoshim Be Eretz Zavat Chala Budvash. The food was taken care of. Why? Because they're in Eretz Zavat Chalav Yavash. You notice that in this week's Parsha. AKF, my favorite Parsha. Awesome Eretz Yisrael Parsha. Just notice that. Adan hem tzvichim beged lilbosh. Bechot tzar tzvichim achevim. Velo ya'ata lahazmin lahem hakok. Kevan shu melech v'adon. It's his job to take care of their clothing, to take care of their economy, to take care of the roads, to take care of the aqueducts. V'lihiyot teva mizgosh of David yashar. And because David was yashar, he was appropriate, he was straight. And his desire was to do the right thing. Etc. What I find fascinating is that comes along the Ein Yaakov and says, a Jewish leader does not have the luxury to say, I'm a scholar. My job is to sit and learn. My job is to sit in Hitbodudut and to worry about myself, and to perfect myself and my spirituality to God, and that's my role. Mm-hmm. Rather, you want to do that? Terrific. You could do that between the hours of 12 and 5 a.m. The rest of the time, your job is to take care of the needs of the Jewish people.
Yeah, but he seems to, in the Gemara itself, he seems like he's pushing them off. Like, he says, you know, don't bother me with this thing. They should just go take care of themselves. Still, if it doesn't work, you guys will go to work. Because it says in the Bracha.
You guys are reading too, you know what I'm saying?
Because
it
says, Miyad Yotzim Ba'achitofo.
No. He said, Luchu, Pashu, they're asking him something. He says, first, he says, I'd like you guys to go work it out on your own. They come back and they say, it doesn't work. It's not working. It's not going to do it. Then he says, okay, you want to go fight? You can go fight. It's clear that that's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to push them up. I don't lead it that way. But I thought it was a beautiful piece, a very, very beautiful piece. That people that we believe today that Shneimut is in a person's learning and it's been ingrained in us. I think that's very much the trend today.
Leadership.
Right. Very much so. And the more scholarly you are, and the more time you spend learning on your own, the more, like, you know what I'm saying, the more you separate yourself from the people, the greater you are, fit you are to be a leader. All of a sudden comes along Yaakov and says, no. You want to work on yourself? That's terrific. But you do it on your own time. Mm-hmm. Shleimut means you're not worried, only worry about yourself. You worry about the needs of Klal Yisrael. And I think it's interesting. If you go to Gedolim today, you should just know, many Gedolim, they're hounded from day morning till night. You know, they can't learn anymore. Because as soon as they're outed as gedolim, as soon as the olim wants them, these people line up, you know, for brachos, for whatever. You know, like Moshe Rabbeinu, like we know about Moshe Rabbeinu, that just, you know, the line was out the door, it was out the, whatever, it was around the block, just people needed to speak to him. At least in Yaakov says, that's what his job is, to worry about the needs of the people. What?
Not all the leaders of the people today do that. Some of them are tucked away and they just learn.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Very interesting. Okay, let's start to Anafio Save. It's a very interesting question.
Just before you start,
second paragraph.
The Gemara does go on to say, by the way, that Moshe Rabbeinu did know where the Chasot was. It was
for the Mitzrim.
It was for the Mitzrim.
Right, if you haven't known, the Ramban, I think, goes on that. One of the Mefarshim goes on
the
Chumash. Correct. Okay. Yesh Navi, so now the discussion itself. What about the, like, what do they want? I'm saying, what did David answer them? It was very fascinating. Yesh Navi, ma bikshu mi David, bezeh be'amram Yisrael tzrichim parnasa. Why not coming to him for parnasa? So we have a second paragraph. אבל כבר מבואר במדרש, ואני בעוניי הכינותי 1,000 דינרי זהב. Okay, he says, David HaMelech says, I prepared thousands upon thousands of golden coins. וכי יש לעני בישראל 1,000 דינרי זהב? Is it possible? He says, ואני בעוניי, in my impoverishment, in my poverty, I prepared gold coins. Like this. So he says, how could you be poor and have less money? Says the following: Ella kishaharag legoliat. When David killed Goliath, he shlichu ala benot Yisrael kesef zahav. So they threw out money at him, and he kept it. Who he frishan the binyan beit hamikdash? Okay. So David said, money is for the shul. Ukishaya ra'av ba'aretz, but when they were in the famine land, lo patach otzot lechalkel aniyim. They came to him. They said, Amer amcha Yisrael tzichin parnasa. What were they really asking?
We have
you know that money you're holding on to? Time to ring it out. And what did he say? No way. Saving that for the Beis HaMikdash. Instead, what do you have to do?
Get him somewhere else.
Get him somewhere else. Meaning? Go fight for it. Lekach, katzaf alav Hashem, God got angry at him and said, Tovat tzedakah mi binyan Beis HaMikdash. I don't want my Beis HaMikdash. If you're not going to give tzedakah because of the Beis HaMikdash. Ulekach atal lo tivne, and for that reason you shall not build the Beit Hamikdash. V'nir'eh, it seems to me, ki chachmei Yisrael hem shebikshu sheyitein la'aniyim yakasef ezahav. Ha'u, that's what they wanted. Ulekach amru lo amcha Yisrael tzichin parnasa. Right, your nation needs parnasa. Uptach otzrotecha v'tein. Open up. Hu ma'en latet tzivad lihilachem. He says, no, I'm not going to give it. I'm saving that money for the Beit Hamikdash. Right? Go fight. Ubazen navin mashamar kadosh baruch hu David damim harbe shafachta ata lo tivne habayit hazeh. Remember David says, I want to build a Beit HaMikdash. So God says, no, you spilled blood, you shall not build my Beit HaMikdash. Diyesh lehavin ma inyan zeh lebinyan habayit. Why are you holding against David? It's a very interesting question, because why hold it against him? The blood that he spilled was blood that he spilled fighting Jewish wars. He killed many thousands of the enemies of Israel. Why is Wavi being punished for that? Aval lafi hanal, but according to this, harbei milchamot reshut shina aser b'shvil panasat aniyim. He made them fight a number of wars of reshut, optional wars, in order to sustain the poor people. Ma'ashayad David yachol etakein bepitcho otzerot hamuchanim lebeit Hashem. That which he could have prevented. Okay. ובזם מבואר פירוש הפסוק דמים הרבה שפחת כי לחמת מלחמות הרשות. Why did you spill a lot of blood? Because you fought unnecessary wars. ללא צורך כי היה לך לפרנסה מן האוצרות. You could have supported them from your offshore bank account. ואתה קמצת בשלך בצדקה. Right, you were too cheap to give tzedakah. Va'aniyim hayu atufim berav ad avo yemei luchama. While the poor people were starving, waiting for the guys to come back from the war with the money. Uben kach savlu dochet v'lachatz, and they suffered pressure and difficulty. Ulakach ata lo tivne habayit ki nivchar laHashem tzedakah mibina beit hamikdash. I don't want you to save the money to build the beit hamikdash if it's at the cost of the poor people going hungry. Okay, this is not shy. It's a very powerful idea. You know what I'm saying? It's like, why? Like, what's the point of this Gemara? Turning it upside down. They came to ask him for tzedakah. He had the money. And he said, no, I'm saving the Beit HaMikdash. Comes like Baruch Shalom and says, you want to build the Beit HaMikdash? You would have built the Beit HaMikdash if you would have spent the money on the poor people. Because I don't want you to save it for my Beit HaMikdash while there are poor people starving outside.
It's interesting because his ancestor, Elimelech.
One gets the sense, reading this again, I get the sense that Rav Zundel, whoever is writing this, is experiencing the same thing, I'm sure, in whatever shul, and whatever...
rich people in this town.
Oh, of course. Because the poor people are starving. The rich people are, of course, donating for the plaque in the shul, and giving for this. Rabbi would eat this, and Rabbi would eat that. And he comes along and says, and he's giving a drasha one day, you know, on Erev, you know, Erev Pesach one day, is Shabbat Shuvah drasha, and he's saying, David HaMelech couldn't build the Beit HaMikdash because of this. And you want to have a beautiful shul, we've got a wonderful chandelier, but there are poor people starving outside. Because Baruch Hu wants you to have simple candles and he wants the poor people to have food. You know what I'm saying? So it's a beautiful drasha. It's a very nice drasha. It's a very nice message as well. Is it pshat in the Gemara? Is it pshat in the Pesukim? Probably not. But it's a good message nonetheless. You know what I'm saying? Poor people, it's not sexy. Nobody wants to give to poor people. Today they want to give to, like, you know, Birthright or whatever. But poor people with food,
How would you explain the next paragraph in the Gemara?
Which one? Achitofel, or between, that's only about war. That's only about war. Achitofel, once they put in the
Chem
and Rishut, it's permissible. It's permissible.
If it wasn't necessary, and there's no solution, should be, or
the Chem and Rishut is permissible. It's not obligatory. God is not going to tell you, no, you may not. And I think that's a mistake. God doesn't tell you, no, you cannot. He tells you, if you want to, it's permitted. It's not necessarily what I would advise. It's not the choice that I would make, but human beings are free to make their choices.
Okay.
The Urim Betumim...
I'll try a different Achitofel.
Yeah.
Okay, it says later on, Achitofel...
Was his Rebbe, yes.
His Rebbe, and yes. Even embarrassed David HaMelech, but you know...
Correct.
Because he knew so much.
Oh, but this is the question. It's a choice of judgment.
Why didn't Achitofel know
giving a Musa?
David HaMelech, you know, come on, you don't...
Remember, first of all, I said, it's not Pshat in the Gemara.
Okay, it's very nice.
You know what I'm saying?
It's very nice.
What? Achitofel was his Rebbe of...
Yeah.
Let's just say it was the same thing, because he brought him Boshet.
Yeah, Boshet because he brought
him Boshet. Right, same thing. That's Achitofel. Yeah. But it's not Shan the Gemara. It's a very nice idea. You know what I'm saying?
It's very nice
but idea, the idea right. being, right, that's the Daka. It's just a very beautiful, the powerful notion.
At the beginning, if you read the Gemara, it says, I'm Chai Sehat Shekim Parnasat. I think that's different to asking for Tzedaka.
Right. Obviously, I think it's clear that it was a Shabbat Shuvah Drasha one year. You know what I'm saying? But it's a nice idea and a good idea. We often do that. I want to give tzedakah in a way that's going to be a lasting, you know, I want it to have, you know, to have pizzazz. I want my name up on a wall. We don't often do that. Halavai, we should be able to do it. But you know what I'm saying? But in the end, the tzedakah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give is not the tzedakah that's going to be in a wall. The tzedakah he wants us to give is the money that's going to go to feed the poor people. And to give them a partner.
Very, very powerful.
A beautiful idea. All right, I'll stop here.